Let's read together Genesis 21, verses 1 through 7. Here we have the birth of Isaac, the promised son to Abraham and Sarah. Genesis 21, beginning at verse 1. And the Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah as he had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age, at the set time of which God had spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of his son who was born to him, whom Sarah bore to him, Isaac. Then Abraham circumcised his son Isaac when he was 8 days old, as God had commanded him. Now Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. And Sarah said, God has made me laugh, so that all who hear will laugh with me. She also said, who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children? For I have borne him a son in his old age. All right, let's begin now with a few background notes. In Genesis chapter 12, God had promised Abraham a line of descendants that would become a great nation. Abraham was 75 years old at that time, and Sarah was 65 years old, but they had no children. For the next 25 years, God continued to confirm his promise to Abraham and Sarah. But during that delay, both Abraham and Sarah questioned God's promise, and they tried to help God out by first attempting to substitute Abraham's servant, Eliezer, as the heir. You read about that in Genesis chapter 15. And then they tried again to help God out by using Hagar as a concubine for Abraham to produce Ishmael as the would-be heir. You read about that in Genesis chapter 16. But God was not impressed with these lack of faith efforts. And he had to remind Abraham and Sarah several times that the promise would not be fulfilled by their contrived efforts, but by having their very own child. And they would name him Isaac. Look back at chapter 17 and verse 19. Then God said, no, Sarah, your wife, shall bear you a son, and you shall call his name Isaac. Now here in chapter 21, that great promise is fulfilled. The promised son is born, and they name him Isaac. Verse 3 once again. And Abraham called the name of his son who was born to him, whom Sarah bore to him, Isaac. Verse 5 says that Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. That means that Sarah was 90 years old. They had waited 25 years. But God had fulfilled his promise. Now, although Isaac was conceived in the natural way, it was obvious that God had worked a miracle. Sarah's body was not only rejuvenated to the point where she could bear a child at 90 years old, but she was also enabled to nurse the child, as we see in verse 7. Sarah said, who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children? For I have borne him a son in his old age. She actually nursed her child Isaac. That was certainly greater than the accomplishment of any Lamaze program, right? Well, so much for the background. Now let's move to our doctrinal or teaching points. Doctrinal point number one. God fulfills his perfect word in his time. God fulfills his perfect word in his time. Verses 1 and 2 again. And the Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah as he had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age at the set time of which God had spoken to him. God fulfills his perfect word in his time. God had promised a son, and God delivered a son. What God promises, God delivers. But why did God wait so long? 25 years? Answer, he didn't wait in that sense. It was his set time. You see that in verse 2. God fulfills his perfect word in his time. Yes, Abraham and Sarah waited, and God had them wait, but God had his reasons. We don't know all the reasons why God had Abraham and Sarah wait 25 years for the promised child. Certainly, there was the matter of learning to trust God and patiently wait on God. And I'm sure there were many other reasons why God had them wait. And for sure, there is the teaching here for us. God fulfills His perfect word in His time. From our perspective, it may look like God is behind schedule in fulfilling His promises, but God is never behind schedule. You know, I've even had Christians ask me why God chose to wait so long to send Christ to die for the sins of the world. What's the answer here? The Lord Jesus came right on schedule in God's perfect time. Galatians chapter 4 and verse 4 says this, "But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son." The idea in fullness of time here is the right time, the perfect time, when the time was ripe and full and ready. The predictions of the coming Messiah in the Old Testament were perfect from God's view, and they were fulfilled right on schedule. All of Satan's attempts to thwart God's program were to no avail. God fulfills His perfect word in His time. The same is true in reference to God's plans and programs for your life and for my life. His plans are perfect, and they will be carried out on God's timetable, including God's discipline in our lives if we're impatient. That's all part of God's plans and programs too. And that discipline will take place in God's perfect way, in God's perfect time. And nothing can mess up or thwart God's sovereign plans for our lives as believers. All of God's decrees are perfect, including His decrees about our lives as believers. What God has spoken is decreed and is perfect and will be fulfilled in His time, whether it be in reference to the coming child for Abraham and Sarah, whether it be, as we've seen, even to when and where and how the Lord Jesus came, or whether it be in reference to all the details in God's plans and programs for our lives. You've heard the expression, I'm sure, His delays are not denials. Well, the Bible also teaches His delays are His decrees. It's His perfect timing. Think of His perfect decrees as we have them for the believer in Philippians 1:6. "He who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Christ." God fulfills His perfect word in His time. Doctrinal point number 2. God sees our imperfect faith in His grace. God sees our imperfect faith in His grace. In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 11, we read this, "By faith Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised." Wait a minute, you say. I thought Sarah doubted God's promise. I thought she laughed in unbelief when God said she would have a child in her old age. That's true. Well, then how can the Bible say this here in Hebrews chapter 11, that by faith Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised? Is this a contradiction in the Bible? What's the answer here? The answer is that Sarah changed and her imperfect faith matured, as we see here in Genesis 21. Yes, Sarah did laugh in doubt concerning God's promise, but she did not deny God. She had a genuine faith in the true God, but it was a weak faith. It was an immature faith. It was an imperfect faith. But God in His grace not only tolerated that imperfect faith, He patiently strengthened it to the point where God Himself could inspire the writer to the Hebrews to say, "By faith, Sarah conceived and bore a son." I find this very encouraging, don't you? In His grace, God sees and acknowledges our imperfect faith. You know, just this past week, I had the privilege of seeing a man in his 70s become a Christian. He had a lot of doubts and questions, but with a step of genuine faith, He trusted Christ as his Savior. Now, that does not mean that all his questions and doubts were instantly answered and cleared up. No. At this point, his faith is young and immature and imperfect, but it's genuine. That's the point. It's in the true God and only Savior, Jesus Christ. Sarah's faith was imperfect, but it was genuine. God in his grace recognized that faith and strengthened it. How encouraging. God sees our imperfect faith in his grace. What about practical application? Practical application number one. Remember that your strength will equal your days. Remember that your strength will equal your days. Now that's a quote from Deuteronomy chapter 33, verse 25. It was a promise made to the tribe of Asher, but it certainly can be applied to us as well. What does it mean? It means that the Lord will give you the strength necessary to do whatever he calls you to do. We see that illustrated in the life of Sarah. The Lord called Sarah to be the mother of a child when she was 90 years old, and the Lord gave her the bodily strength and stamina to carry out his will. The Lord will do the same for you. Not necessarily enable you to have a child, ladies, at 90 years old. But whatever he calls you to do, he will give you the strength to do. You know, many times that's the way the Lord can guide us as to whether we're doing his will or not. Is he giving us the needed strength? There shouldn't be burnout. Whatever the Lord calls you to do, the Lord will give you the strength to do it. Remember that your strength will equal your days. Practical application number two. Let's laugh with God and not at God. Let's laugh with God and not at God. Back in Genesis chapter 17 and verse 17, we see that Abraham laughed when God told him that Sarah would have a son. Now, Abraham did not exactly laugh at God. It was more of a, this is too good to be true type laugh. But when we come to chapter 18, verse 12, we saw that Sarah laughed in unbelief. In that sense, she laughed at God and had to be rebuked for her laugh. But now in Genesis 21, we see that Sarah is laughing with God. Verse 6, once again. And Sarah said, God has made me laugh so that all who hear me will laugh with me. This is the laughter of joy. This was laughing with God. God named the child Isaac, meaning laughter. It was on purpose. It was to remind Abraham and Sarah that there had been the laughter of unbelief, but now there is the laughter of joy. God fulfilled his promise. They could laugh with God. And so can we. God has designed us to laugh. Laughter can be wrongly directed at God in unbelief, as we see at first in the life of Sarah, and as we see so often today in the media, in the classroom, in the office with the people you work with. Laughter directed at God. But laughter can be with God. Joy in the Lord for what he's done for us. Let's laugh with God and not at God.